I grew up in West Nashville, been in ministry basically all of my life. My great-grandfather was a minister. My grandfather was a minister. My father was a minister. So being exposed to the gospel, it for many people, it makes it kind of hard to believe. How could your life spiral so out of control when you grew up in the Word of God and under the structure of God? But it would be many years later before I would discover that there's a difference in knowing of God and of Jesus and actually experiencing the power of God in your life. So for the most part, I lived a religious life. I went through the motions of religion, but never fully had a personal relationship with Him. And I know it seems strange for most people, but it happens more often than what you would care to know. But back then, I didn't know that as a small child, you know, not totally understanding the whole relationship with it being a personal one between me and God. It created this void in my life. It created this emptiness. And as a result of that, when I was old enough, I left the church because I got to an age in my life to where I felt like this isn't working for me. You know, it doesn't feel real to me. It feels artificial to me. And I didn't understand at the time what was happening to me. So therefore, I totally left the church. I gave my life to God at the age of 8, and I stayed in it until I was about 18 or 19, around 19. I just made up my life that, you know, Lord, if this is all there is to Christianity, is coming to church 3 times a week and fellowshipping and going back home empty and void of life, I don't want any part of this. So I left at an early age. And as a result of that, with a lot of young people, when you're coming into an age of transitioning out of childhood and into young adulthood, you find out that it's very difficult trying to make your start in life. It's difficult trying to establish yourself. And as a result of that, I became depressed because no matter how hard I tried, it just seems like nothing was working out for me. So this heavy cloud came upon me called depression. And I really didn't know what it was at the time, because back in the 80s, you really didn't have a lot of people talk about mental illness, and you didn't have a lot of people talk about depression, and I didn't know of anyone that was depressed, and I'm pretty sure there were other people that were depressed, but you really didn't talk about it in church. You kind of had it hidden. And because I didn't know of anyone else who was experiencing these things with depression, I felt isolated, and I allowed that depression to put me into this black hole, and I became withdrawn from society. And as a result of that, it opened up the door for the enemy and strongholds to take hold of me because of my lack of understanding and because I had broken fellowship with God. But what I didn't know at the time was, even though I had moved away from the Lord and I was doing my own thing and I was trying to come to terms with the direction of my life as a young adult, that the Lord had never left me. He had never left me. Even though I had felt abandoned by God, even though I felt betrayed by family, it seemed like any relationship that I tried to have with anyone, it never succeeded to anything. And then I just couldn't understand, Lord, why is it that everything that I ever loved and tried to attach myself to it, it always ends in rejecting them, rejecting me. And all I ever wanted to be was to be accepted for who I was. But I kept entering into relationships and friendships with people trying to make me into being someone that I was not. And I just couldn't do that. So like I said, I sunk into this black hole. Then when things couldn't get any worse, I was staying with my aunt at the time. I was 19 years old, and I had a daughter out of wedlock, and she was a baby then. And then they broke the news to me that they were moving to California and that I would need to find a new place to stay. It's like, wow, I have no place to go. I can't go back home. Home is not an option, you know. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And not being emotionally or mentally stable to take care of myself, let alone to take care of a small child, it put me even that much more into depression. But thanks to the grace of God, even though I had walked away from him, he had never walked away from me. So the end result was that I had to go into a housing project. And so here I was in this drug-infested neighborhood, just to hate the nighttime, all alone, no family, no support, no nothing. It was just me and my depression and my loneliness and my despair. And I became real angry with God. I'm like, why? What did I do to deserve this? Why did you even allow me to be put in this position, you know, where other people, it seemed like that they were getting a great start in life, you know. I ended up on the wrong side of the tracks, so I thought. But thanks to God and his grace and his mercy. You know, sometimes when we present questions to him regarding our life and why things turn out the way that they do, it's not that he doesn't want to respond, but he knows that we're not at a maturity to where we can handle the truth, and we just want to accept it. So sometimes he just has to step back and let us go through what he go through so that he can take us on another journey, so that later on down the road he would be able to explain why he chose the path that he chose for us. And that is exactly what happened. So he put me next door to this wonderful Christian woman who had a zest and a love for the Lord unlike anything that I've ever experienced before. And her name was Miss Marilyn. And Miss Marilyn, she had 7 children. She had been abandoned by her husband. And she was an orphan child. So we had a lot, you know, in common as far as the rejection part of things. But I never could understand how could a woman who had been abandoned by both of her parents and end up marrying at a young age and giving birth to 7 children and then being betrayed by your spouse and left out on your own, how could you have so much joy and peace? And it was something about her character that I knew that it wasn't phony, but I knew that it was real. And it kind of gave me some curiosity regarding what is it about her situation that she was able to overcome that I cannot get past. So she invited me to church. I'm like, okay, but I didn't want to do it because I was mad. And I was upset that all of my life, that I had to share my life with ministry. And because of my grandfather and my father being in ministry, it took away from the family. I didn't understand that. Why, you know? Why can't we have a normal family? Why can't our family be like other people's family? Couldn't plan family things, do things together because ministry was first. So that was another reason why I wanted nothing to do with the church, because I feel like I was always in competition, you know, with the church. So I decided to go this one time. But I didn't know what type of church that it was. Only thing I ever knew was Baptist. So out of despair, I went to this church. And it really wasn't a church because it was in a warehouse. It was a small warehouse. And when we got there, I'm like, oh my goodness, where's the church? And it's like, the church is right there. I'm like, that's not a church. That's a warehouse. So it was a little different approach than I would have expected. And so I got out of the car, and I couldn't remember as clearly as I'm standing here and I'm talking to you. The power of God, it hit me right there in the parking lot. And I began crying uncontrollably, and I could not stop and could not for the life of me figure out why. So as we proceeded to go into this warehouse, there's the pastor and the congregation, and there's a lot of activity going on. I was terrified for my life because I'd never experienced anything like this before. But on the other hand, I was drawn to the spirit and the joy that was there. It was like I was torn between two places. I didn't know anything about the Pentecostal faith. Needless to say, I was filled with a range of emotion. I'm like, is this a cult? What is this? And what is going on? And oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into? But I couldn't even tell you what the message was, because the Lord was doing a mighty work within my heart. And I think I was the first one that was down because the conviction of the Lord was on me so heavy. It's like all of that stuff that had been building up in me all of those years, he just released it. It was was gone and it was no more, I didn't realize that at that moment that I was a changed person, that the Lord had did a mighty work within my life, that he had completely changed me. But I didn't realize it at first. I just thought I was going through a range of emotions. So what had happened is that the Lord had, he knew my heart. And he knew what I was feeling deep within my heart. And there was not a way for me to articulate those range of emotions because my mind could not understand what was taking place in my heart. God knows our heart. And sometimes we think that we know what's best for us, but God knows. He knows the deep inner thoughts of our heart. So to make a long story short, after that initial meeting, I tried to go back to my home that night. I tried to settle back into my same routine of darkness, but guess what? There was no more darkness to be found. The emotions were not the same. It's like, wow, I don't know what's going on, but something is happening and I can't figure out, you know, what it was. But I didn't realize it at the time that the power of God was transforming me. He was transforming my thought life. He was transforming me from the inside out. But my mind could not understand the things that were taking place in my heart because I hadn't sat under enough teaching to be taught how God transitions us from out of darkness into light. And as a result of that, it was necessary that I started attending Bible study and Sunday school to try to get a feel for this range of why these things were happening to me that I didn't know what was taking place. So at the same time that I was going through this new transformation of rededicating my life to the Lord, but on a different level than what it was before, and the church that I rededicated my life to, it was 99.9% a white church. So that was totally different for me. And the pastor of this church, he was a small country preacher out of Kentucky. And the Lord had called him to come and to do ministry. And he had a wife and 7 children. So basically, he had uprooted his family from this small country church in Kentucky to an inner city church in East Nashville. You know, being married to a pastor, it takes a lot of faith and a lot of courage. And you better be sure that you're hearing the voice of God when you make that kind of decision. I can only imagine what his wife, you know, felt or thought when he told her, you know, the Lord has called me to leave the country, to go to the big city, and we're going to minister to inner city people. So I can't even imagine what that must have been like. But I didn't know that at the time that all these things were taking place. The only thing I knew was some type of way I found myself a member of this Pentecostal church that I was afraid of because I didn't understand that culture. But it was feeding me to the answers that I always had out of my life. And my desire to know who I was as a child of God was stronger than all of the craziness that I thought that was taking place within my life. So I learned to overlook a lot of the things that I kind of was afraid of. But at the same time, I was being drawn to this new relationship with God because now I was older and I was mature to where I can comprehend some things. And at the same time, I was trying to overcome my challenges of living in poverty and trying to get back on track. So still, I was going through this whirlwind of trying to come to terms with what to do with my life. So one day, I remember going up to the church. You know, I was just frustrated and I was fed up. And I'm like, Pastor, I would like to schedule a meeting. I would like to come and I would like to talk to you because I'm just, you know, distressed. And so I remember sitting there and each time he's got this Bible. And for everything that I was saying to him, he had a scripture that he was giving me. That's not what I wanted to hear. I was wanting him to give me a solution of how to get out of the rut that I was in. I didn't want scripture. I wanted him to tell me, how do I move forward? And he was giving me what I needed. It was found in scripture, but I didn't see it that way. So out of my frustration, I said, you know what, Pastor? You don't know what it's like to be a single mother. You don't know what it's like to be an African-American. You don't know what it's like to be in a drug-infested neighborhood. He's like, you know, you're right. I don't know what it's like, but I do know about the grace and the power of God. I do know that much. And it was during that time that, you know, he helped me to open my eyes and to break me out of the stereotypes. And it was during that time with my personal study with God that the wisdom of God started to open up my eyes and show things to me that I wasn't able to see before. And the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, was able to show me things on a different level, to remove the tradition and to remove the culture and the religion and all of the other things that come into play sometimes that we allow ourselves to get called up to. We have a tendency sometimes of making this thing a religion. In reality, God is not a religion. He is a reality. And he desires mostly that we have a personal relationship with God. He wants our all. And that's what I discovered. I discovered that, you know, all along, God had never left me. I left him. I left him because I did not know him. I walked away from him because I was living a life of religion that denied the power of God in my life. And it was through me not having a personal relationship with God that my depression entered in. Even though I was sitting on the pew, even though I had my Bible before me, even though I was quoting scripture, even though I was giving God the praise and the glory, I was denying the power of God in my life because I didn't have a personal relationship with him. All those years, I had a form of godliness in my life that denied the very presence of God. And it was like, wow. Never would have dreamed that it would be possible for a person at the age of 8 years old to give their life to Christ and at the same time not have a personal relationship with him. It wasn't until I started reading the scriptures where Jesus was speaking to the disciples and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter comes along, he answers, he says, "You are the Christ." And I remember reading where Jesus says, "Peter, upon this rock I shall build my church." He wasn't talking about a physical rock. He was talking about a solid rock regarding the relationship that Peter had with Christ. That's what this thing Christianity is about. And it wasn't until I came into that knowledge of who I was as a child of God to where everything that I thought that I knew, it had transformed me. And it was like my eyes had been opened. And then for the first time of my life, I started to experience real freedom, true Christianity. And Christ that is in me, he is my hope of glory. And that he's not a statue and he's not a ceremony, that he's a very living presence. For the Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and those who worship him, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I can honestly say I've learned to appreciate the experiences that the Lord has allowed me to go through. Every bad experience, every rejection, every hurt, every pain. I can honestly agree with scripture that all things work together for the good of those who put their hope and their trust in the Lord. Amen. Because those experiences are designed to draw us closer to him and not farther away from him. Even if we find ourselves in a situation where we're facing death and knocking on the door of death and say to it, "I shall not be moved by what I see, feel, or hear. I will only be moved by my faith that is in Christ Jesus." So I want to encourage you today that no matter what life throws at you or what kind of challenges that are presented to you, you can depend and rely on the Lord, for he will be there for you. He said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm a living testimony to that. He will never leave you. He will always be there for you. Even through your deepest, darkest days, you can rely on the Lord being there for you. He will fight your battle for you. If you were to lose everything that you own, if your family were to abandon you, you can rest assured in knowing that the power of God will be there to carry you through. Thank you for allowing me to share my testimony.